as well. All right, if you would, take your Bibles to the book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Most people say, wow, what an intriguing place to go on Resurrection Sunday. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. I would invite you to stand with me out of respect for the Word of God. Just stretch your legs one more time if you're physically able. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. I'm going to read 2 verses for you, and then I'll give you the title of the message. We'll get into the meat of the message here, and I'll hopefully be a help and a blessing to you here this morning. The book of Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, starting verse number 1, it said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. I thought about that phrase in verse number 1. He said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. We've been speaking about who God is and our theme this year, to know God and to make Him known. On this Resurrection Sunday, I trust that you know the Lord. If you don't, you can know Him. But if you are saved, I want you to know Him personally, have a relationship with Him. Well, I want to talk to you about what this means in this passage, I believe, and some of the things God showed me from it. We'll preach a message to you this morning on God, the lily of the valley. Let's pray, Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, I ask you, please, to guide my heart and my thoughts today. My heart is heavy with things that have gone on in our nation and across this world. Lord, on your Resurrection Sunday, Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you in a special way. God, I pray that you'll bind Satan and the devils of hell from this place. Will you not let them distract anyone? Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit of God, you'll be thick in this place, that you'll move up and down these rows and amongst the hearts. And if there's any here that do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, we pray your will, and your will is that that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, I pray that they'll trust you as their Savior today. Lord, if there are those here that are saved, but they're struggling, Lord, I pray that you'll be with them, encourage them today. Lord, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. As I was going through this passage of Scripture, I was brought back to my mind about this Easter resurrection time. And most of you know that around Easter, you see Easter lilies out and different things like that. And we have some of those around here this morning. And I began to think about an Easter lily and asked, began to look that up, and I looked up what a lily represents, and it said that a lily represented a return of happiness or innocence, beauty, purity. It also had a spiritual connotation of hope and life and a return of holiness. And as I began to think about that, I thought, wow, what a fitting time to talk about one that brings life, one that is beauty, one that brings purity, one that brings a return of holiness and purity to a lost and dying world, and that's none other than Jesus. And I'm sure glad that we get an opportunity to talk about Him here today. I'm going to mention about this lily of the valley and talk about this lily that we see here. And it was intriguing as I was beginning to do a study on this, and he said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And it said, as a lily among thorns, so is my love amongst the daughters. See, everywhere that you go in the Bible points to Jesus. No matter where you try to go from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it's all a perfect story pointing people to God. And that's what we want to talk to you about today. I was thinking as I grew up, I used to think of the book of Song of Solomon as one that I wanted to skip over. Because every time I read about it, it was about this gooey love story. And I always thought about, my sister and my cousins and all of them used to read these novels all the time. And I used to get so sick of those kind of things. You know, I'd say, somebody talk about hunting or talk about something else, you know. And I'd hear about all these love stories and I just think, man, I just don't know if I can stomach the fact of reading about all of this. But as I grew in my Christian life and as I began to go through it, everything is in the Bible on purpose. God placed it there for a reason, and we ought not to overlook this. I'm going to basically tell you the story of the book of Song of Solomon in a nutshell to try to help you out with the same picture that I was trying to deal with when I was younger as I was going through and talking about this love story. And by the way, there is a love story. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loves each and every one of us. Even though we're sinners, God still loved us. And I don't want to get ahead of myself in this, but here's the book of Song of Solomon in a nutshell. I'm not going to read it all to you, but you can go back and study it for yourself. Here is a story of a king who has a vineyard. And there is a maiden who is taking over this vineyard. And this king comes down and disguises himself as a shepherd. He comes into this vineyard and he falls in love with the maiden. And he takes her to be his wife. And he takes her back. And as he takes her back to where he is, he then goes on a journey. And while he is away on this journey, his bride is telling everyone that she knows how wonderful her bridegroom is. And if you go to Song of Solomon, chapter number 6, flip over there quickly. I want you to see something. Here this bride is telling everybody about how wonderful her groom is. And I begin to think about some of this stuff and I begin to read about some of this. But in verse 16 of chapter number 5, it says this: His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And as she's going through talking to all of these different people about her bridegroom, chapter 6 in verse 1 says this: Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside? Now this last phrase is what I want you to see. It said that we may seek him with thee. So here's the whole principle behind it is this king who now take this bride unto himself goes on a journey and she's telling everybody she knows about her bridegroom for one purpose: that they desire him as well. And isn't that a perfect picture of what Christ has done with us? The king came down as a shepherd and he takes unto him a bride. And then he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And that if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And he says this, that we're to be telling everybody we can about this wonderful groom of ours. Why? That they desire him as well. And that's what, as I begin to study through this passage and study through all of this, Song of Solomon didn't become as gooey to me and icky to me, as you would say. I begin to love it. Why? Because it's a picture of what Christ has done with us. And as I think about, he said he's this lily amongst the thorns, I begin to think about some things all the way back into the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and God began to pronounce judgment upon the sin of man. You understand, a holy God has to judge sin. God created everything in His image. It was perfect. But man, in their disobedience to God, separated himself from God because of sin. And the Bible said, because of one man's sin, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And in Genesis chapter number 3, I want you to turn there quickly if you have your Bibles with you. Genesis chapter number 3, I want you to see a few things here quickly. After Adam and Eve had sinned, Adam sinned against the Lord. God is now pronouncing judgment. And look what it said in verse number 14, or verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Now look what it said, verse 18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now as God was pronouncing judgment upon the sin of man, one of God's signs of God's curse upon sin was thorns. See, we read in Song of Solomon chapter 2 that it said, as a lily among thorns. And I begin to think about these thorns, that very curse of sin. And I begin to think about what, because of man's sin, how God has now pronounced judgment. And God said there was going to, He cursed the ground, and thorns and thistles came forth. And I began to think about that representation of what took place in that day, and how that very curse of sin, those thorns that were there, were a representation of God's judgment upon the sin of man. But then if you think about what happened thousands of years later, 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on a cross. And they platted something upon His head. It was a crown of thorns. The very curse of sin that God placed upon man, Jesus wore upon His head for you and I. But in the middle of those thorns, Brother Eddie, there was a lily bringing hope and life to all those that would believe. And that was Jesus. This hope is in Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. Take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, this is one that you would hear verses being read at a funeral service. In fact, we read these just this past week at Miss Jones' funeral. And I'm building up to something this morning. I'm trying to lay some groundwork for you, so please be patient and bear with me. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, it said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought the past the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." See, all the way back in the book of Genesis, when God pronounced judgment upon the sin of man, God said there had to be a payment for sin. And that payment had to come through the spotless Lamb of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He shed His blood for you and I. He was being the purchase price for you and I. But here this Resurrection Sunday, as we think about it, we have been pondering at our house the past couple days about what took place on that day. How Jesus was battered and broken for you and I. How He took upon Himself this beatings and the scourgings and the mockings that you and I deserved. He did all of that self, willingly laying Himself down for you and I. And He died on the cross. He yelled, "It is finished." And the sky got black and thunder began to crash. And I can just imagine on that night as Jesus died, what everybody was thinking at that moment when they realized this truly is the Son of God. And they began to think, "What have we done?" I can imagine that soldier standing beside the cross when that took place that night. And I think oftentimes we belittle the fact of the cross and what Jesus really did for us. We'll rejoice and we'll celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that was a great day. Why? Because He came to do something. He came to hang on an old rugged cross. He came to die. But not only did He come to die, He came to conquer that death. See, that death that you and I deserve, the Bible says, "Oh, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That death that the Bible's talking about there is a spiritual death, separation from God in a place called hell. You say, "Well, how am I supposed to fathom this fact?" Is that, listen, a holy God has to judge sin, and because of sin, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every one of us falls short of what's expected to get to heaven. We're not perfect. We can't get there on our own. So it took one, Jesus, who came into this earth, tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin, willingly laying down His life for you and I, shedding His perfect, precious God blood on that cross for you and I, that we could have life in Him. But when He died, He didn't stay dead. That's why Jesus isn't hanging on a cross behind me. We don't have a picture of Jesus still hanging on a cross because we're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They put him in a borrowed tomb because he wasn't going to need it long. It was just for a few days. They laid him down there, and guess what? Up from the grave he arose, holding the keys to death and hell. And he offers life to anyone that will receive it. And when we talk about this lily amongst the thorns, he's the one that brings hope. He's the one that brings joy. He's the one that brings peace. He can return happiness to those that aren't happy. He can return innocence to the wicked. He can return the beauty to those that don't feel beautiful. He can return the purity to those who have lost purity. You say, well, how am I supposed to find this lily? He's there. He said, he's that lily amongst the thorns. As we think about these lilies and we think about what they represent, this return of happiness and innocence and purity, and he's the only one that can bring that in your life. There's a lot of people searching for a lot of things in our society today. They're looking for this and they're looking for that. They're trying to find it in money or trying to find it in fame or trying to find it in possessions or trying to find it in friends or find it in other people. But the only happiness that truly comes is the happiness that comes when Jesus is part of your life. When it said, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I began to think about this passage of Scripture where he said, I'm the lily of the valley, and as a lily amongst the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. But that phrase, that lily of the valleys, I began to think about valleys. And I began to try to think about what valleys represent. And I began to think about in the Bible what valleys we're talking about and what anytime I saw about valleys, what it would show me in that. I want to try to help you some things about every one of us are going to go through valleys. We all go through them. I want to share some things about valleys, but I want to talk to you about the lily of that valley as well. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. First Samuel 17, and verse number 3, look what it said. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. Look at verse 19. And Saul and all they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. Now listen, there's many, 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 many verses we could read about. But anytime you read about in the Bible about times when battles were about to be fought, there was an army on one side and an army on the other side. And in the middle was a valley. And that's where the battle was about to take place. I want you to see firstly about valleys is valleys are where battles are fought. Battles are fought in the valleys. You know, every one of us are fighting battles. We're in a spiritual battle. Satan's doing everything he can to try to desensitize people to the fact that there is a real heaven and there is a real hell. He's done a good job with Hollywood making people think that the devil is this man with a red suit with horns and a pitchfork that loses every battle he fights. And that's not the way it works. Satan's walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes he's roaring like a lion. Sometimes he's subtle as a serpent. Sometimes he disguises himself as an angel of light. And what he's doing is he's deceiving people to believe the fact that the Bible's real, that heaven's real, that hell is real. And a lot of people are fighting battles, and there's a war going on. There's a spiritual warfare. You may say, well, preacher, I'm not fighting any battles. Listen, you better hang on because you're going to. Everybody fights battles. Some people fight battles with physical health. Some people fight different kinds of battles, maybe with finances or problems with rebellious kids or maybe marital issues, things like that. You're fighting battles, and battles are fought often in the valleys. Whenever you read in the Bible, you read how the armies come up, and there's always a valley. That's where the battle's getting ready to take place. My mind went to Psalm 23 again, where it said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." See, we all walk through valleys that are pretty tough. The battles are fought when we get in these valleys. And you know what? We have a generation of people that don't know God anymore. They don't care about the things of God. They don't love God. Satan's attacking God's people. I mean, we've heard about it on the news even this morning. Different things that have taken place across our world, how God's people are being attacked, people trying to come and worship the Lord, and they're being attacked this side or that side. Praise the Lord for America that we still have the freedom to come and worship God as we want to. God has been so good to us. We can come here and we can worship the Lord freely without worry about, there's times that things happen, but we're not persecuted like they are in other countries. But here's where we've lost this whole thing is we quit fighting battles. God's still worth fighting for. And people say, "Well, preacher, you know, I think we ought to just love everyone," and we should. We should love them the way Christ loves them. But we ought not to cower down on our standards and back up on the things that we know are right and the truth of the Word of God and the absolute truth of this book we have turned away from, and we don't want to fight battles anymore. But it's in these valleys of decision that we come to, these valleys of battle, that as we're fighting the battle, there's a lily in that valley that's saying, "Hey, just keep on fighting." He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and take unto you the helmet of salvation, and above all the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one." It said, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication." Listen, God's given us a job to do, church. This isn't time for us to back down. It's not time for us to walk away. It's time for us to keep pressing on and keep fighting for the things of God. We have a living Savior that's worth fighting for. He's worth living for. He's worth doing everything. Why? Because He did everything for you and I. If you're in this room today and you've trusted Jesus Christ by faith, then you're bought with a price. He said, "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You belong to Him. You're His possession. It's not your life to do with what you want to do. It's not what you think you ought to do. You fight battles in the valley, and that's where we face a lot of times. There's people in this room right now that I could go through and say, "Hey, they're fighting a battle. They're fighting a battle. They're fighting a battle." Maybe with loved ones, maybe with sickness, maybe with whatever it may be, there's battles that are being fought. And a lot of times we look at the physical battles, but what about the spiritual battles? What about the people that aren't reading God's Word, that aren't going out witnessing for Him, that aren't doing the things of God? There's spiritual problems that are going on inside of them, and battles are fought in the valley. But I want you to also think about while you're in the middle of this valley and you're fighting a battle, I want you to look what the Bible also said there in Psalm 23. Look there, would you? I know you may be able to quote it, but I want you to look at it. He said, "Yea," verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Look what verse 5 says, "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Look at Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Psalm 65, verse 12 and 13, look what it said. "They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks, and valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy and also sing." Look at Psalm 104. Psalm 104. says, verse 10, He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They gave drink to every beast of the field, and the wild asses quenched their thirst. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? Listen, not only are battles fought in the valleys, but while you're in those valleys fighting those battles, believers are fed in the valleys. We're fed in the valleys. See, that's where God's table is spread before us. We get so afraid to be in the valleys because we don't want to fight the battles, but you can't get the sustenance that God wants if you're not willing to get in there, fight the battles, and be down there where the food really is. You've got to get where the food is. He's got it there. He's prepared a table before you. It said, in the presence of mine enemies. While you're fighting the battle in the valleys, God has the provision for you to sustain yourself through that battle. He's given you that provision, all that you need, the washing of the water of the Word. The Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. Listen, church, it's nobody's fault if you're not getting the things of God when God's given you everything in that valley that you need. He's given you everything that you need to sustain yourself. And church, listen, the reason that the world is in the trouble that it's in is because God's people quit fighting battles and showing people where the food is and quit pointing them to the one that helps them and showing them that lily in the valley. And that lily's representing this. Listen, down here in the valley, when you're fighting the battle, guess what? You can also look around and see the food that's there to help you along the way. Believers are fed in the valleys. Listen, when a farmer gets out there and he begins to do his crops, most of the time he's not trying to do it in the rocky ledges. He's doing it down in the valleys. Why? Because that's where it's smooth ground and it seems like things are going. Why are they fighting down here in the valleys? That's where everybody can maneuver properly without having to fight on the mountaintops. But oftentimes we get in these valleys and we're fighting the battles and we just get weary in the journey and tired in the way. And we think, God, I just can't fight anymore. I don't have any more strength to go. And He says, listen, I have food for you. I have provision here. You say, yeah, but God, I don't want that. I want something else. You know what? I'm not a big diet person, as you can tell. I know a preacher friend of mine, he said his idea of a fruit basket is no fruit. Reese's peanut butter cups, flaming hot Cheetos, things like that, that's what he says. And he was telling the story how his mom and his wife said, listen, you're going to die. He said, listen, we're all going to die. He said, the difference is those of us that eat bad are going to die of bad health. He said, those of us that eat healthy are going to die depressed. There's a difference. But you know what? We laugh and we kid about those things. We joke about all those things. But we have so many people that are fighting battles and they're trying to fight it in their own power and their own strength. And God's got everything they need to give them that strength to endure, to keep on going, to keep on going. And they'll fall by the wayside and they'll take their family down with them and they'll do all of this. Why? Just because they just wouldn't reach out and eat from the valleys. And God's given us a word that's called the milk of the word. And then guess what? As we're babes in Christ, babies don't stay little, do they, drinking milk? Pretty soon, milk's not good enough. That's not all that's going to satisfy. So mama begins to give them bread, right? They can start eating that bread a little bit. They have to chew it up a little bit, but they can still swallow it. And then, you know, as you watch them grow, pretty soon that milk's not enough and that bread's not enough. They got to have something worth chewing on. And they get to the meat. And they begin to chew that up. And then they want more and they want more. I remember when Abram was born. I used to tease him from the time he was born. I used to tease him every time I held him. I'd say, hey, cheeseburger, buddy, cheeseburger fries and a strawberry shake. Here we go. And I remember his first birthday. I was there with a strawberry shake ready to help that boy and the cheeseburger. But guess what? The milk wasn't good enough and he began to grow and he wanted the meat. Why is it that we as believers in Christ stay with the milk of the word? We don't grow. When God's given us everything, that lily of the valley's trumpeting, saying, hey, there's life. I can help you back to where you need to be. You're fighting a battle and you're weary in the journey and you're tired in the way. And we're fed in the valleys. You say, well, I don't want to have to be down here fighting this battle. Listen, you've got to be where the food is. You've got to get to it. You can't just come to church on Sunday morning and expect the preacher to give you all your food for the week. Listen, as the pastor of this church, every one of you sitting in this room this morning have an expectation for me to be the student of the Word of God. Every one of you expect that. You say, well, you're the pastor. No, it doesn't matter that I'm the pastor. I'm a child of the living God. And the fact of the matter is this, God's plan for every one of His children is to eat of the Word of God daily. Not just as you see fit or just as you think you ought to do it. We have too many people that are dieting. I was on the whole diet thing. I'm coming back. I don't like people say, well, my uncle used to do this thing where he used to eat like these little rice cakes in water. That's not a diet. That's torture, okay? That's torture. You can eat smart, okay, and still eat. All right, that's the kind of diets I like, is eating smarter, not torturous. We used to tease him all the time, say, I think he makes soup out of grass or something. I don't know what it is. We used to joke with him about those kind of things. But you know what? We have a lot of spiritually anemic Christians. Because what they say is, well, God, I don't really like those things that you're trying to feed me. So I'm going to go try to eat from the world's buffet. But as they eat from the world's buffet, they're not gaining strength. They're getting weaker. They're getting actually sick. Why? Because they're eating the wrong kind of things. See, if we eat the wrong kind of things long enough, it's going to make us sick. You eat the thing, Friday was hard. We had the viewing, and we had the funeral, and then we had a meal here. And then we had Dads of Valor and Purpose, and we ate again. And I was sitting down there, and I was trying to eat some of this stuff, and I was thinking to myself, I told my wife, I said, what in the world am I doing? We just ate, and now we're eating again. And you know what? You just don't feel right when you eat the wrong kind of things and too much of it. But you know what? When you get a healthy diet, man, it feels good. It feels good. When you start eating healthy, now a healthy diet is food, okay? Not rice cakes and water. It's food. And you know what? But we have a lot of people trying to live off of rice cakes and water when there's a whole lot more in this book. They'll look at God and they'll point their finger at God, say, God, why am I in the shape I'm in? He'll say, because you're not going to where I have the food. You're not eating from my table. See, battles are fought in the valleys. Believers are fed in the valleys. But there's always something on the other side of the valley. And what could that be? It's a mountain. It's a mountain. A lot of times we look at these mountains and we think, wow, that's too big for me. I can't climb that mountain. But see, if you don't go through the valleys, you don't get to the mountains. And battles are being fought in the valleys. But as you're there fighting the battles, guess what you're doing? You're eating to prepare yourself for a climb that's about to take place. Because not only are battles fought in the valleys, and not only are believers fed in the valleys, but in Psalm 23, it said this, surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me. Blessings follow the valley. Blessings follow the valleys. There's a mountaintop experience on the other side. We always try to ask the Lord to get rid of the mountain. But see, the mountains are there for our strength. As we eat and we sustain ourselves, you know why a lot of people don't make it up the mountain? Because they haven't prepared themselves while they're down in the valleys to get up that mountain. They don't have enough strength to endure up the mountain because they haven't eaten what the spiritual food in the valleys to get to the top of the mountain on the other side. And they miss out on the blessings that follow the valleys. See, Jesus went apart into a mountain to pray as He sent His disciples away. You know what He's doing? He was preparing blessings for them through their valleys. So many times we ask the Lord to get rid of the mountains, and one of my favorite songs has to do with a mountain. And it talks about moving the mountain, and we ask God to move it. And it says, Lord, here I am again, down on my knees in prayer. Lord, You promised me that You would always meet me there. But there's a mountain up ahead that I can't seem to climb. If you could just give me the strength to climb it one more time. And it said, Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. And we always ask God to get rid of the mountain. I don't want to have to climb it. But see, blessings follow the valleys. And the reason we crumble and fall back into it, and we just walk back and forth along these valleys, and we make that valley a rut in our life, and we never experience the victory that comes on the other side, is because we haven't done what needed to be done in the valley. But there's a lily in the valley, and a lily amongst the thorns. And as you look at that lily down there, it looks like a trumpet, doesn't it? And as I begin to think about that, and I begin to think about how it ought to trumpet the sound of Jesus. Of Jesus. That lily amongst the valleys. He's there when the battles are being fought. He's there when the believers are being fed. And He's there when the blessings follow. We celebrate this resurrection day. And listen, Jesus died and paid everything for you and I. But He rose from the grave so that He could offer life everlasting to anyone who would receive it. You say, preacher, how do I know this Jesus that you're talking about? He's in the pages of this book. He's everywhere. The Bible says even the winds and the waves speak of Him. Why? Because He's the creator of it all. And you know what He wants you to know today is that He loves you. In spite of who we are, in spite of our sin, in spite of all that we deserve, He took all of that upon Himself so that we didn't have to endure it for one moment. And He said in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why is salvation so easy for you and I? Because it costs something very much in Him. The payment that you and I could not pay, He did. He endured. But when He triumphantly rose again and we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, may we rejoice in the fact that we can have life anew in Him. How are the broken made whole? How are the impure made pure? Through the lily of the valley. And that lily that represents a returning of happiness, innocence, beauty, and purity. That spiritual hope and life that only comes through the lily that was amongst the thorns. And that was Jesus. Listen, you can't go to heaven any other way. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As I read Song of Solomon and I think about the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, may we triumphantly proclaim His name today, that we can have victory through Jesus. Death has no handle on us. Why? Because though we may face a physical death, we can have a spiritual life forever in heaven because of Him. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, let me encourage you to trust Him. Why? He wants you to be saved. He said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Won't you trust Him? If you are saved, you may be fighting some battles. There's a lily in that valley that's letting you know that there's food for you. The believers are fed in the valleys. When you read Psalm 23, remember, the Lord's got a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. But it said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever because the blessings follow the valleys. Don't ask God to help you to not have to experience the valleys or the mountains. Listen, they're necessary. Both of them are necessary. The valleys are necessary because if it weren't for the valleys, you'd never appreciate the mountains. But if it weren't for the mountains, you wouldn't have, if it weren't for the food and stuff that you get in the valleys, you'd never be able to climb the mountain. So as you're in the valley, take time to do what God said and look at the lily of the valley and let Him give you strength and help along the way. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning,